It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Texas is asking the federal government to reverse course and fund a state-run women's health program that excludes Planned Parenthood. It marks an apparent test of the Trump administration over abortion policy. The state is seeking a waiver to restore millions of federal Medicaid dollars that were blocked under President Obama in 2011 after the state's family planning program booted abortion providers. A spokeswoman for the state's health agency says they're looking at what opportunities may exist under a new administration. Abortion rights groups say the stakes go beyond Texas. They worry other states will also try blocking Planned Parenthood funding if the waiver is granted. The move comes as Planned Parenthood is fighting a health care bill passed in Congress that would halt most of its federal funding. Benedict Arnold is so infamous that his name became a euphemism for betrayal. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with historian Nathaniel Philbrick about the role Arnold played in America's origin story.
This country began through an act of disloyalty by saying, hey, we're loyal to the king, but now we're not. And the Declaration of Independence was a document designed to ease that guilt, to explain it. And we had George Washington as this great hero. But if you're going to create a myth of origins, you also need a villain. And enter Benedict Arnold. He, by attempting to surrender West Point to the British, he was a traitor, not only to George Washington and the Continental Congress, but to every American. And suddenly, we had the hero and we had the villain. We had the snake in the Garden of Eden. And so the genesis of the country could move beyond an act of betrayal when it came to King George and look to the defense of our own personal freedoms.
Nathaniel Philbrick is the author of Valiant Ambition, George Washington, Benedict Arnold, and the Fate of the American Revolution. His Arts and Letters live program at the Dallas Museum of Art begins at 7:30. This episode of Think reairs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. Civil asset forfeiture lets law enforcement agencies seize property and cash they suspect is related to criminal activity without proving the crime itself. Law enforcement calls it a vital tool in the war on drugs. Critics on the left and the right say it's a practice prone to abuse. Two states have banned asset forfeiture, and nearly a dozen have restricted its use. During the legislative session in Austin, there's a bipartisan effort to add Texas to that list. KERA's Christopher Connolly has the story, starting with one woman whose life was turned upside down by the forfeiture process.
For Crystal Greeson, January 7th was pretty much an ordinary day. Her family was staying at her father-in-law's house in Forest Hills, just outside of Fort Worth. In the early afternoon, she was helping her son get caught up on homework. Then her phone rang.
My husband called me and says that, he's in jail, they found this, they found that.
He'd stolen some batteries and got caught. Cops found 14 grams of crystal meth in the family's white Ford F-150. Greeson was scared. She was 7 months pregnant, and this was their only working vehicle.
That was the first thing I asked him, where's our truck? He said, I don't know, so I called the detectives.
They told Greeson she wouldn't be getting the 12-year-old truck back. It was seized and subject to forfeiture. After a week, she did get her daughter's car seat out of the truck, but everything else, two laptops, a tablet, some of the kids' Christmas presents, that's all still in the truck. 5 months later, she's getting money together to buy the truck back from the police.
It makes me feel like I've done something wrong, that I'm having to pay for it and that I'm having to, spend this money to get it back.
Greeson says she's mad at her husband for running around with drugs, and she blames herself too for not knowing or stopping him somehow. Still, she says, this forfeiture system seems unfair.
He's getting sentenced, and instead of it just affecting him, now it's affecting his wife, his unborn kid, and his, younger two, a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Crystal did not marry a perfect guy.
Steve Jumas is her lawyer.
That imperfect guy is doing over a decade in the clink. And so, do we need the Ford F-152?
Tarrant County District Attorney Sharon Wilson wouldn't do an interview for the story, but her spokeswoman sent a note saying Crystal Greeson's husband, David Brown, owned the truck, used it in a manner subject to forfeiture, pled guilty to drug possession, and had a history of drug dealing. Steve Jumas says that's all true. And that's exactly why those laws should be reformed. He thinks forfeiture is a good tool, but in Texas, he says too many poor people get caught up in a system designed to target big-time criminals.
Everybody agrees El Chapo's catamaran should be taken. I think most of us are shocked they're looking at Crystal's truck.
Life without that truck was hard on Greason. Her due date was approaching, and getting to doctor's appointments was tough. Her doctor ordered bed rest, but instead she had to walk a mile each way to get groceries. Her feet got too swollen to fit into regular shoes.
But I feel like I still had to push through to take care of these kids, because if not, they would have starved.
On the day she gave birth in March, her blood pressure was dangerously high, 211 over 102.
Immediately, they took me into delivery and, you know, said, we're taking this baby, you know, before you stroke out. I'm like, I had no idea it was that high, or I had no idea that I could die from it.
Greason feels lucky her son was born healthy. Just about the same time as Greason and her new baby, Bentley, were getting out of the hospital, lawmakers in Austin were hearing testimony on nearly a dozen bills to rein in asset forfeiture.
The Subcommittee on Asset Forfeiture will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Steve Jumas drove down to testify. Here. He likes a bill to limit asset forfeiture to vehicles worth $10,000 or more. That would have saved the truck Greason's husband got taken. But Ann Wright from the Tarrant County DA's office told lawmakers that would be a gift to criminals.
They know what the rules are and they know how to play them. So instead of using a $12,000 car to go do their criminal offenses, they'll just ratchet it down and use a junker that they find someplace.
District attorneys, sheriffs, and police associations oppose every one of the reform bills. They say asset forfeiture is the best tool law enforcement has to fight drug cartels and human traffickers. Jackson County Sheriff A.J. Lauterbach is with the Sheriff's Association of Texas.
We have trouble trying to stop the illegal flow of narcotics and cash and assets from the sale, you know, of these narcotics. And that would be completely detrimental to public safety from our standpoint.
It's not clear if any of these reform measures will actually survive the legislative session. But for Crystal Greason, her concerns remain more personal. The hardest part about this process, she says, is that it's left her family scattered. 5 months after her husband's arrest, Greason's kids are now staying with family members. She's staying with friends south of Fort Worth and waiting on her tax return. With that money, she'll buy back the family truck.
Once I get all that under control, I'll be able to get a job and get my life back in order. Get my kids all back together and not be on Medicaid, not be on food stamps, and, you know, take care of my family on my own again.
Earlier this month, she reached a deal with the Tarrant County District Attorney's Office. They said she can buy back the old Ford F-150 for $1,200. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
For the past 5 years, KERA has been tracking a group of high school students as part of our American Graduate Series, Class of 17. The students are wrapping up their senior year, and for the next few weeks, we're catching up with them before they graduate. Tomorrow morning, reporter Stella Chavez has an update on Chance Hawkins, a senior at Fort Worth Dunbar High School. Chance has Duchenne muscular dystrophy, a rare degenerative disease. Just a few weeks before graduation, Chance has experienced some major ups and downs. And story airs tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. And for the evening, partly cloudy skies later this evening. Should be a low around 68. Tomorrow brings in partly sunny weather with a high around 87. And tomorrow night, things could get mostly cloudy. A chance for showers with a low around 70. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.